Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to continue our study through the gospel message and hopefully try to understand a little bit more about what it means to have the cross working in your life and really understand how different things in life help us to choose to live a life that's entirely dedicated to God. And that truly walks according to the plan that he lays out for our lives. And that's the real normal Christian life. It's not one that's constantly a struggle with sin, although there still is a struggle with temptation that happens every day. That does not go away because you still have your physical body, your natural state of desire that's known as concupiscence, that original sin, and you're still always capable of falling away throughout this life. But the one thing that should be noted is the more and more you struggle and walk the Christian life, and the closer you get to the end of your life, the more you should be really setting your mind to truly live as God wants you to live and to be totally consecrated to him, which is the ultimate goal, if you will, of the work of the cross, to really make you crucified with Christ so that you live. But it's not you who lives, it's Christ who's living in you because you're fully consecrated to him. You're fully presenting your members, as Romans 6 says, to God and being that living sacrifice, because the cross is at work in your life. And that's more or less the focus of this Lenten period of time. So to get this into us, let us begin in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Merciful Father, I am guilty of sin. I confess my sin before you, and I am sorry for them. Your promises are just. Therefore, I trust that you will forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from every stain of sin. Jesus himself is a propitiation for my sins and those of the whole world. I put my hope in his atonement. May my sins be forgiven through his name, and in his blood may my soul be made clean. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What I want to point out today is something that comes from the writings of St. Louis de Montfort. And it's something that he spoke of in his book, The Preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus Christ Through Mary, where he basically talks about those who consecrate themselves to Jesus Christ by means of Mary do so in a sense of becoming slaves to Jesus. It's a total consecration, a total slavery, if you will, a slavery that you belong to the one who is your true dignity, the one who has real aspect over your life. And it is a slavery. It's a holy slavery, if you will. As St. Louis de Montfort points out, the Christian life is nothing less than the participation in the life of Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. It's that experience that we get in baptism where we belong completely to Christ. That's where the slavery aspect comes into. And therefore, holiness is the common vocation of every Christian. In fact, the central mystery of Christianity is simply this. By means of the incarnation and the cross, Jesus Christ has saved us and made us true children of God, our Father, and filled us with his Holy Spirit. So that should balance out everything that we've been talking about these last couple days since getting into the normal Christian life, the life that's presented to us in Book of Romans, especially when we start seeing the newness of life that's being talked about in this life of living and following the Holy Spirit. And it's really understanding that while Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of the Father, who shared in our human condition, he's made possible for us a deeper, an opening, a way to really walk as he lives if we die to our sinful nature and really reckon ourselves dead in sin and alive to him. A lot of this is because we don't understand how in our flesh, in our natural ability, whether it's our mental abilities or our physical abilities, how we still have a nature that needs to be overcome, a corrupted nature. It's not a total depravity, like Calvin would say, but there still is this concupiscence that's within it, which will drag you down into sin and create a loss of your soul if you truly follow into it. But knowing this and realizing that you're not wanting to be drawn into bondage to sin again, but you're wanting to be a true slave of God, that you can find the way out, because grace is what teaches us to control our senses, control our emotions, control our wills, to be able to shun all vain pleasure or empty pleasures that are out there, and stay away from an empty show or something that's only pride-based. Because we can humbly abide in anything that we find in Christ, because in Him all of our actions, all of our knowledge, and everything can be done for the praise and honor of God, that He may bestow on us His gifts and freely bestow onto us all of His love, which is our true desire, that water that we're truly seeking, as we found out this weekend when we read the or heard the gospel proclamation from the third Sunday in Lent. And to really know that the more our nature is kept down and overcome, the more grace fills our souls, our every body daily, and that these new daily visitations that come from the working of the cross in our life transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God. And this is really where we are really to be focused upon in this new age. In fact, to kind of quote from the third book of Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, we need to learn to overcome our natural makeup, our nature, and truly find the grace that comes from God alone in great abundance. As he said, our nature was defiled by sin through the first man, Adam, and the penalty of that stain has descended upon every human being that's ever lived. Therefore, to think of the very human nature that God made good is now captured for sin and corruption, is the extent to which our natural inclinations can draw us away toward evil and base desires, if we so choose them. If we think as mere beast, as mere animals, we rationalize things based upon what we truly want and know, instead of really having this inward grace to overcome the things that we truly would desire, because this is what the struggle in Romans 7 is talking about, because we have this inward desire in our souls, in our very essence, that we really want to delight in the law of God and in His teachings, but because of a dependence and not really putting to death our members and reckoning ourselves dead to sin, we serve the law of sin, as Romans 7:25 talks about. But you see, this is the thing that's all there. The weakness that we fail to accomplish is a natural weakness. That's the problem with us trying to do things naturally instead of through grace. So we really need to learn to lean on the grace of God that comes to us through the cross, and realize that without Him, we can do nothing. Because it's His grace that is greater than our sins and allows us to do everything that we are to do in this life. The grace of God is something that comes not by our own merits, but comes strictly by us being crucified with Christ and really understanding the grace that allows us to overcome, and to realize that this grace is nothing more than the greatest gift that God could ever bestow upon us. And this is really where we have to get into asking God for His grace, which is greater, his love, which is even more immense, to truly see us through hard times. And the hard times are hard times like we are experiencing right now. We are experiencing hard times with just looking around and seeing how our lives and everything that we cherish in this life is being brought to a point of total destruction. There's many people's lives who are worried because they're like, I can't pay my bills because I can't go to work and make the amount of money that I need to make. So there's a real struggle here. But you see, even during this time of the coronavirus, Jesus has a message for you. The message is that anyone who wishes to follow me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Because if you don't do that, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. If we gladly accept and follow the word of the cross and allow this true moment of receiving Jesus in our hearts come into play, we will find that we are the kind of people who only do what is available to us through the cross. Now, how do we take up this cross? Well, Jesus, in no mere way, leaves us alone, but he wants us to learn from the tribulations, the trials, the persecutions, and even these viruses that are going around in society nowadays, so that we truly understand that we can do nothing but look upward to God and find peace, which is the merit of heaven. In fact, wherever you go, you take yourself with you, and you can always meet yourself face to face if you really wanted to. And you can look up toward God, or you can look downward within yourself to find that there's not enough in you. If you truly carry the cross willingly, it will bring you to your longed-for end, an end where you die to sin and truly are raised to life in Christ Jesus by the grace of God. This is really what it means to escape from sin into death and to truly be transformed as a new creature in Christ, because we don't put our trust in ourselves. Any trust that we put in ourselves is something that's put in the wrong basket. In fact, we should always put our trust in God, because this is the strength from heaven that truly allows us to suffer things and enter willingly into the glory of God. As Jesus told one of his apostles in Luke's gospel, 24th chapter, 26th verse, about how if you really would suffer the slings and arrows of dying on the cross, you'll truly be brought into the entire mystery of his life. And that's really where we must be brought to. The weaker we become through affliction, the stronger we are spiritually by the inward grace. And this is a rule that we really need to put into practice in our days and really understand that the more we bear love for Christ, the more pleasing we will be in God's eyes, because we begin to shun ourselves from what really does separate us. We must be prepared to go through tribulations and to consider them really our greatest comforts. I mean, this is really what Romans 8 is trying to synopsize, especially Romans 8, verse 18, where it says, I consider the sufferings we presently endure to be minuscule in comparison with the glory to be revealed in us. I mean, Paul's talking about how everything we endure has to be looked at as a little thing. It should be not a huge gash like somebody's tearing your heart out. It needs to be something like you stubbed your toe while bumping it in the middle of the night, hitting the coffee table. Yes, it hurts a lot. And yeah, in that moment, you just do the big one-hop dance throughout your living room. But you're truly realizing that it's nothing compared to the glory of God that you will achieve forever if you truly just let go and let God. We're too busy trying to tell him that we can't die. We can't this, this, and this. We need to have a million-dollar mansion, a Rolls Royce, and luxury and ease. And that's not Christianity. Christianity is about suffering. It's about knowing that Jesus Christ himself suffered and died for us, and to realize, as Saint Paul once realized, that he would have to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ and go through such great torments throughout his life. In fact, it's only when you go through these torments that you really come to a growth of faith, a growth of faith which comes by the trying of your patience. Now, many people laugh that off. They're like, oh, I asked God for faith and then everything got more difficult. Well, that's because each one of us commend patience. But we may commend patience, but we hate having to suffer even 1 minute. I mean, I'm a big baby myself in this. I don't like to suffer. I don't like to be in any discomfort. But we're called to die and to be willing to suffer a little for Christ, since he suffered a far greater amount for us on the cross. Because when we do that, we die to ourselves. We begin to reckon ourselves dead in our own right and alive to God. And we really begin to understand how heavenly things work out for us when we truly bear the afflictions that we bear in life for Christ. Because nothing is more pleasing to God or more profitable to each one of us than to suffer gladly for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only when we are given the choice, that when we choose adversity rather than prosperity, that we truly find ourselves becoming more like Christ and the examples of all the saints who have ever gone before us. Because the merit of our progress in spiritual matters, and even in our spiritual life, is not the cons is not consistent in enjoyment of good things and heavenly sweetness or being consoled and all that stuff. It's really in how we bear with adversities and afflictions. Afflictions like this coronavirus that's going around, do we bear that properly? Because had we been really, truly suffering as we ought and denying ourselves, taking up our cross, as Luke 9:23 tells us, where we deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Christ, that we truly understand what the whole gospel is all about. Because we need to really understand that the kingdom of God comes to us when we undergo hardships. That's a direct revelation that was given in Acts 14:22, that it is necessary for all of us to undergo many hardships before we enter the kingdom of God. It is why in Matthew 11, we're told that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and those who are violent take it by force. We take it by force because we truly give ourselves over to God to do it. But this is something that we must do, and it's something that we must allow ourselves to desire. And it's for that reason we need to pray a very special prayer. A prayer I want you to pray with me right now. So, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. O most merciful Jesus, grant me your grace that it may remain with me always and preserve me unto the very end. Grant that I may always will and desire what is most pleasing and acceptable to you. Let your will be mine, and let my will always follow yours in perfect conformity with it. Let my will and the desires always be one with yours, and let me be unable to will or not to will, except as you desire. Grant that I may die to all worldly things, and that I may be despised and unknown for the love of you, which is greater than everything else. Grant it above all things to be desired. Grant that I may find my rest in you, and that in your heart alone I may find my peace. For you, O Lord, are the true peace to the every heart and perfect rest of our bodies and our souls. For apart from you, all is difficult and never still. Yet it is in that peace, in you who are that one true way, truth, and life, the supreme and eternal good, that I will sleep and take my rest forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hopefully, if you prayed that with me, you'll understand what we've been talking about these last couple days, and really be blessed.